and I felt physically sick, like physically sick. I was thinking, no one wants to talk to me. We should so do this. This is, you know, I've just seen this. This is such a good idea.
I'm not looking forward to this conversation. I've got some news that isn't the best news.
Yeah. I was meeting the most amazing people, like going to dinners and, you know, sitting next to the head of, you know, my favourite beauty brand and thinking, what? Where would you get that opportunity ever? Welcome to the world of events, nothing ever goes right. And then the national papers picked it up, and then I got a call from someone from the BBC. So again, I only got that because I posted it on LinkedIn. As the business grew, so it became like the fifth shop on Depop for 1 week worldwide. Yes, that is it. It was like the perfect blend of the marketing that I loved and the business side, and thinking, I have to work for this brand. I've got a weird amount of knowledge on hedges now, which I don't know what I'm going to do with one day. I have a motto of like, just do it, and I use this in day-to-day life. Just send that email, just do it. But again, just do it.
Yeah.
Just get on with it.
Wow, Ellen. Well, I knew she was going to be good. I mean, I'm biased. I love Ellen.
Me too.
How did you find that conversation?
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was amazing, and I can't wait for everyone to hear. Lots of good things to unpack, networking tips, how she got her first role as well. Super interesting. Not like the normal path, but definitely something to think about for people in future.
Yeah.
And yeah, just networking's not scary, and just do it, I think.
Just do it. Well, you need to just do it and listen to this episode. We look forward to hearing what you think.
Hi, I'm Ellen, and I'm taking you behind the future.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Future. And we have a wonderful co-host with us today, Alice. Alice, tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Alice. I'm a second year business psychology student.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Very excited to have you here, as well as, and I'm really excited about this one because I know this lady very well because she's in our team, Ellen. Welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, so I'm Ellen Bundy. I'm a growth marketing manager at Reflect Digital, which is a digital marketing agency. And I work in our client services team. So I look after our brands. I'm their main point of contact, and I'm making sure that we're hitting all their goals and making sure they have a really good experience with us. And then outside of work, I run a community called Yes Meetup, which is events for under 35s working in marketing, creative and digital, and think cooking classes, drinks meetups, really fun experiences to connect the youth.
Wow, there's a lot to find out about how that all has happened. So over to you, Alice, for the first question.
So I think we should take it right back to the start. So do you want to tell us a bit about your journey, maybe in terms of like school and university?
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey started obviously at GCSEs and A-levels, and I actually studied English, geography, media and photography. And I was an academic, but also a creative that didn't feel like I was a true creative. And I always felt that school probably didn't connect all the dots for me. And actually, all of those subjects were really marketing. So, you know, in my photography, they'd be like, would you like to be a photographer? No, not really, actually. Would you like to work in the film industry? Oh, no, actually. But again, I had all those skills. And I ended up going to university. But when I was back at sixth form, I unintentionally started a business on Depop. And if anyone doesn't know what that is, it's similar to Vintage, which a lot of people use today. And I literally had leftover glitter from using makeup that I'd bought in bulk, and thought, you know what, I'm just going to sell it on and see if it'll shift. And ended up selling it really quickly, to the point where I was thinking, oh, I could do that again. And I remember promising my parents I wouldn't keep doing it again because I was taking up loads of room in their house, and unintentionally ended up building this sort of semi-business. And I then took that to university. So I decided to go and study geography. And within, I think, probably about a month, realised, oh, I don't know if that was the right decision, but I really wanted to stick it out and kind of see the journey through. And I knew it was going to help me get a career in the future in some format. And it was through building the business, so through social media, I was working with influencers, that I really discovered what marketing was, and actually my absolute passion of that is really, really what I want to go and do. And as the business grew, so it became like the fifth shop on Depop for 1 week worldwide, like 10,000 sales. Like, it grew, and I learned a lot about business the hard way. Again, no one teaches you those things, and it's not even a huge business, but wow, there was a lot to learn. And I knew that when I was graduating that I almost felt a bit on the back burn, where I hadn't been studying it and I didn't have the qualifications. And I started to apply for a few grad schemes and internships, and one rejected me and said, oh, you know, degree not relevant, or something along those lines. And I remember thinking, absolutely, like, gut-wrenching of, I've spent so much time doing any free course I could, volunteering, reaching out, cold calling to businesses to, like, help with social media. I had so much to give. It was just finding someone that was willing to give me a chance. So I kind of went back to the drawing board and thought, right, I think I need to get in front of someone and just see, so that they could see all of my passion. So I looked a bit more locally and stumbled upon Reflect Digital, and immediately thought, this is ridiculous that this is on my doorstep and I hadn't even discovered it. And thinking, I have to work for this brand. And I ended up using Canva, which is like a very basic graphic design tool. Anyone could use it. I'd really recommend any students building their portfolio to look at it. And I put all the reasons why. It was like a portfolio pitch deck of why I wanted to work for them, what my skills were, what I could bring to the table, and really why I wanted to work for Reflect Digital specifically. It was all branded. And I sent it in the hope that maybe someone would read it. And a few days later, someone gave me a call and said, oh, we do internships, but we'd like to make you another one to have you on the team. And that's really where, obviously, I'm very thankful for Becky for giving me that opportunity, because, again, it was that passion that I don't think anyone got to see at the beginning.
Well, that, like, I mean, I think there's probably episodes where we've already told that story before, because I come back to it all the time, because I still remember that landing in the careers inbox. And I remember opening it, and as you say, we did internships, and we'd already filled all of our summer internships through University of Kent, actually, which where you are. We'd filled all of our internships, but I literally opened this up and I was like, there is absolutely no way we can't meet this girl. And we're probably just going to have to find a way and find the budget to bring her on, because there is no way someone can put that much effort in and be that passionate about wanting to work here and us not give them a chance. So it was a wonderful moment.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. And I think it's about being proactive. Like, unfortunately, no one's going to hand you anything in life. So it's being a bit proactive. And I remember getting really negative in my head that, oh, people have more experience than me, people have better connections than me, and thinking, I can create my own experience. Like, what am I doing? Like, you just need to get on with it. And I have a motto of, like, just do it. And I use this in day-to-day life. Just send that email, just do it. But again, just do it.
Yeah.
Just get on with it.
Yeah. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, literally. What have
and
you got to lose?
And yet you've got everything to gain if it goes well.
Literally. Especially platforms like LinkedIn. Like, I would really recommend you getting onto those platforms when you're really, like, young, and start building your online presence, because you've got so many employers on there of the biggest brands, the best companies out there. And all you can do is message them and say, you know, I'm trying to break into the industry. Do you have any advice for me? I did that at university, and a few people do, you know, they get back to you and they give you really solid advice, and you start to build connections that way. But it doesn't feel as daunting as it all is built up in your head, and you kind of strip back the imposter syndrome and think, I can do this. Yeah, if someone's going to reply to me and they work in the world, then I can do it.
I love that. Love that. So you get the internship. So,
yes.
And that obviously wasn't a promise of anything more than probably 3 months to begin with.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, we're, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yes.
How many years later?
4 years.
4 years later. 4 years later. Yeah. And you're still very much here. Yeah. So, spoiler alert, it went well. But tell us, what happened?
Yeah. So I did a 3 month internship with Reflect Digital, and it was predominantly supposed to be an SEO. And I started off in there, and I'm not a very strong copywriter. So very quickly was like, oh, I don't know if this is like my cup of tea. But the beauty was, being in the agency, was there's so many channels, there were so many departments, so many people that were willing to support and help me. So I ended up doing a bit of agency marketing, so sort of our agency marketing, and a bit of account management. And a role came up in the account management team and client services. And once someone explained it to me, it was like, yes, that is it. It was like the perfect blend of the marketing that I loved and the business side and like creating the strategy. So I was never going to be the one doing the marketing, but I was kind of the ideas and bringing everything together and thinking that is exactly made for me. Like that's the one. And then joined their team as account executive. And I've just worked my way up to manager now. But yeah, the team have been so supportive and it's such a safe environment to work in. So I'm very grateful of landing in a very good starting role, really.
Love that. We're lucky to have you as well, I will say. So for someone that doesn't know what that role entails, tell us a bit more.
So I'm basically the main point of contact for our brand. So when they join us doing a service, they'll get allocated someone to look after them. And I'm basically the main point of contact within our internal team. So I represent their brand internally. And I'm doing project management to relationship building, really ensuring that they have a good experience with us, but also we're meeting all their goals, we're achieving everything they need to be. Constantly doing market research, what's competitors doing, what should they be doing. Yeah, it's a no 2 days are the same kind of role. I couldn't really summarize my day in the life. I think one day I'm writing pitches, the next day I might be on the road seeing clients. It's if you don't like repetitive roles, this is for you. I'd say.
Yeah, there is a lot of variety in the role, a lot of variety. Did you, when you came in and did work experience, you got to sit with the growth team?
Yeah, I did a bit with Ellen, which I really enjoyed. We were doing market research. Do you remember for the Shed company?
Yes.
Because I remember like for ages after on my Instagram, like Shed adverts were coming up because I'd been like searching loads of Shed.
Love that.
But yeah, I think as Ellen's saying, like obviously your role is really versatile, but also the agency is really versatile. Like when I did work experience there, I did like a couple hours in loads of different departments and I just loved how broad it was. Mm. Like there's just endless opportunities. So I think definitely it's nice hearing like a business that for young people there is opportunity and like even though Ellen did a geography degree, you still gave her the time of day, you still treated her like a professional, which is really refreshing I think for a young person looking in.
Definitely. I mean, with that portfolio, it didn't matter what you'd done. it was your approach and at the end of the day, like I always say, there's some companies that will say you have to have this, and there's obviously some jobs out there, like you can't go and be a doctor and not have done a medical degree. Like I really hope that's the case anyway, because no one wants to meet that doctor. So there's some things where you have to, but in our world, having the right mindset and the passion and the interest is like the absolute number one. So it doesn't really matter. And still, there's probably some businesses like ours that would still want someone to have a certain level of experience. But I just want the ideas and the freshness of someone that we can then also help mold them and show them our way, but also get their ideas. Yeah. Like it's a two-way street.
And do you know what? I think an agency is such a good starting place for anyone that wants to, you know, explore the world of digital or marketing, because there's so many, again, channels sometimes in many agencies, and you're working on every type of industry, every type of business, big, small, you know, from a Shed retailer to maybe a law firm. It's so varied. And again, you get exposed to so much that you wouldn't really working within one brand. That's a whole entirely different experience. So I feel very grateful that, again, I'd gone in thinking maybe social media was for me, but then getting light into the whole entire world of marketing and all the other channels that that came with it. So definitely recommend.
And when you think about your role, obviously relationships are really important, and the kind of customer service side of it, of keeping our clients happy, which most of the time we do, but you also get hiccups, don't you?
Yeah.
So how have you found that? How have you found managing tricky conversations or also the kind of the upsell side of things and the growing accounts? Like they're all things that probably, again, you wouldn't have thought about before you got into that role.
I think with the whole like upsell stuff, and is really just immersing yourself within their businesses. I'm probably just as passionate about the business as they are. I'm completely invested in it. Becky will know I've got a plant nursery client that I absolutely adore, and it's an e-commerce store. I love e-com. And I absolutely know everything about this business. I know every product. I've got a weird amount of knowledge on hedges now, which I don't know what I'm going to do with one day, but yeah, you get invested with it, and it just comes so naturally to you, and you get excited. Like, you find something new through competitor research, or you have an idea late in the shower and you're calling them like, we should so do this. This is, you know, I've just seen this. This is such a good idea. So again, I think it comes naturally once you get invested into their business and what they're trying to achieve. You're on the journey too.
Yeah. Well, because you're not selling for the sake of it. Yes. You're selling because you know
it's going to drive
this
business,
is your goal.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you make that goal happen.
Exactly.
But yeah, you have to spend money to make money.
Definitely. I think the difficult conversations comes with time and confidence. I think that's probably the one that fresh out of university I maybe struggled with, but again, that's when I started to go to networking and other avenues to help build that confidence, because again, it doesn't come overnight, and it's just a matter of practice makes perfect, and yeah, you get experience by doing.
Yeah, it's funny. I still remember, because your pathway was my pathway into then running my own agency. Like, I have such a love for the kind of account management side of things, because that was my pathway. And I still remember, like, my boss first saying to me, so this bad thing's happened. I don't know, we've broken something for a client, or we're going to be late on something. You've got to ring them and tell them.
Yeah.
What? Can't I send the email? No, you've got to ring them and tell them. And I suppose, but I don't know, actually, maybe we don't do that as much as we did. But we probably would schedule a call now, probably. Mm. Like, you don't do as many just random phone calls. Mm. But actually, I've got so, like, now I'd be like, yeah, we've got to ring them.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier, because you just say, look, I'm really not looking forward to this. Like, you actually say it on the phone call, I'm not looking forward to this conversation. I've got some news that isn't the best news.
Yeah.
But I'm ringing you because I want us to work out our way forward. Because at the end of the day, they're a human being on the other end of the phone. And yes, they might be annoyed. And yes, you're missing a deadline or whatever, but no one's dying.
They're a human. They're just like you. Like, cut everything out that you've got this perception of. They're someone just like you. So definitely. I remember because I was a sort of COVID graduate, I hadn't even gone to an in-person meeting for a while, probably for like 6 months or maybe longer, because we were in and out of lockdown. And I remember my boss at the time, Sylvain, saying, oh, you know, we're going to go see them in person. I'm driving and saying, you know, this is my first client, that actual meeting. And he's like, what? What do you mean this is your first client? And he's thinking, oh gosh, I've completely forgotten that you have been like brought into the new digital era of Zooms and online meetings and phone calls. So, but yeah, I way prefer an in-person meeting. So anyone I can see, I will definitely go.
Yeah. What do you like about the in-person meetings?
Just again, like seeing like body language, emotions, getting to chat more personally, being in their environment as well. That's so like interesting. Even if, you know, if it's they're on the Zoom call and it's their house, it's like, oh wow, what do you do? What's your personality? But also from the business, asking those more personal questions and get to know them on a deeper level, for me is what I like.
Yeah, you do find on a Zoom call, you dive more into the call. Like, you might have a little bit of chit chat, but actually a physical meeting, especially if you're the first one to have arrived, then you might get time just chatting to the person while you're waiting for other people. And I don't know, you just get that extra at the start and at the end.
Yeah.
And also at the end, you can, whereas a Zoom call, you go, well, thanks so much then. Mm. See you later. Bye. Hang up. Whereas in real life, you've still got to exit the building. So you're walking out together and you're like, you can get a bit of feedback.
Yes.
How was that? And we probably should do that more on Zoom calls. Maybe we do sometimes, but sometimes it's easier because people are like, I'm meant to be in another call now. I got to go.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen so much in real life.
Just not even engage as well. Like, there's notifications coming up. You're being distracted. Again, having your soul sort of attention from them is really valuable.
Love that. So you're working at Reflex.
Yes.
And then you start your little side hustle.
Yes.
Which is not so little these days. It's getting bigger and bigger. Tell us, where did this come from?
So starting community for Yes Meetup kind of started from a need and a want to meet others in the industry. You know, you get into your work bubble, but I really thought I want to get inspired from other people. I want to learn other, you know, bits of marketing, other, you know, interesting case studies, other stories, and just have a support network of people that were probably maybe in the same role as I was or different roles. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go start going to events, and I wanted to get immersed into the industry, but not in a public speaking way. That wasn't really my thing at the time. So I thought events is the way to go.
I like the way she said at the time.
I'm getting there. And I just thought, do you know what? I'm just going to go solo. I'm going to go see what it's like. And I remember walking up to my first event and I felt physically sick, like physically sick. I was thinking, no one wants to talk to me. Why do they want to speak to me? I've got nothing to talk about. I don't know anything about marketing and what I thought as an intern or an exec at the time. And actually, I was just so wrong. My whole perception of events and networking was just so distorted on the fact of they just want you to be you, like, and meet you on a personal level. And are you a nice person? Yes, you are. And that's where that relationship starts and builds. It's nothing about your title or what you know. It's very much, are you a nice person that can make friends? So I did that, and I sort of realized very quickly, I'm always the youngest person in the room. And it was no fault of anyone's, really. It was more just it felt like I'd discovered it and felt like the rest of the community was missing out, because I was meeting the most amazing people, like going to dinners and, you know, sitting next to the head of, you know, my favorite beauty brand and thinking, where would you get that opportunity ever? Like, if you'd outreach to them, they would obviously be way too busy to give you the time of day. And when I spoke to my friends or colleagues who were sort of within the youth space, they said, it's intimidating. Like, I don't want to go to a space where, you know, potentially CEOs are and I feel judged, or I don't have the courage to go sometimes. I've got nothing to sell is a lot of what people say. And again, it's sometimes a wrong way of thinking about networking. It's community. And thought, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool if I could just make a space that did feel safe and was for young people and they felt comfortable there? And again, the whole just do it. I just thought I'll just start the branding and see if anyone would like it. And I went to a dinner and met two lovely ladies and said, do you want to go out for a drink after this? And when we were walking there, they were saying, this event would have been so much better if it was all just like people our age, thinking, oh, I have to tell you about something that I'm building. But also then it just gave me the confidence of actually someone else wants that. Because at the time, it's just like, oh, maybe that's just what I want at the time. So ended up building Yes Meetup. And for my first event, hiring a space in London and inviting 20 people from my community that I'd built from going to events and knowing people in the industry. And we just had a great old chin wag, probably too much wine, and a really good time. And since then, the next one grew it to 60 people. And then after that, I've gone more experience-led, so really connecting over an experience. So you're not having to walk up to someone like, hello, my name's Ellen. It's you're making pasta together and you're naturally in conversation and you're bonding over something that is a fun and an experience and a memory, really. Now we're doing pasta making, sushi making, wine tasting, all sorts. And I'm really excited to see where it goes. But yeah, some really great brands coming as well, like Google, Amazon, Flight Story, like so many different brands, whether you're a freelancer, agency, working in a brand. But yeah, it's just about building your support network and creating real friendships as well. It doesn't have to be all corporate and
it's incredible.
It is.
And I suppose I know this, and I think it was your first event. It wasn't without its hiccups. Was that the one where the venue?
Oh, bless. My I was hiring a wine bar and they'd got broken into the night before. And they said, I'm so sorry, we need to cancel it. And I think I'd seen the email about 2 a.m. and so seen the header, and I got up straight away and was emailing and phoning. I mean, it's classic events. That was very much like, welcome to the world of events. Nothing ever goes right. Always need a backup plan. So yes, that was very stressful, and we did a venue change, and luckily everyone was very accommodating to come to the new venue.
But how incredible, though. Like, I just think, I bring it up because I just, nothing is simple, is it, when you're trying to set up your own thing? And that probably you hadn't even considered. Yeah. And to be fair, we run lots of events. Mm. And even though I know that story, you can't really have a venue backup plan. Literally. Because it's so rare that that would happen. But for your first event, for that to happen, but then within 12 hours.
Yeah.
To have turned it round, found a new place, got everybody there and done it in such a class way. It's brilliant.
When you're under pressure as well, you realise actually you just got right down to what you actually wanted to say to them. And that's just made me learn, just get down to the point. And even when you're pitching to brands or venues, I was like, just be more direct. And then you're going to get a better relationship out of it. But I didn't have a lot of sleep that night, but it was worth it.
Running on adrenaline, though, with events like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You probably, I imagine the day after, you're like, just let me sleep.
I remember throughout the whole event, though, writing down all the things I didn't like about it and what I would do differently next. Like, I need an area for coats and bags, or there wasn't enough of this, or wasn't enough of that. Someone said that to me, because once you finish the event, it almost goes out the door because everyone floods you with really positive feedback of, I had a great time, but actually it was the negative bits you want to hear. Like, right, how do I improve all those? They're all the bits that need cleaning up. So I was thankful to my list the next day, because again, I was pooped out and needed to sleep.
love that. Aspiration Digital is the one-day careers conference to help young people get started in the digital industry. We are just planning our next events and we are planning to move around the UK. So this is your opportunity. If you follow the link in the show notes, you can suggest that we come to your local area and get your school listed on the wait list. Follow the link now and pop your details in. We hope to see you at a future event. Now, Alice, you've been to a Yes Meetup, because I'm too old. Yeah. I can't come. I remember when Ellen first told me the concept, I was like, cool, sounds good. I'll just watch from afar and feel really proud. I love it. It's brilliant, though. But you've been to one. What was it like?
It was really, really good. I was really lucky that Ellen invited me to take some content for her, which was obviously great for me to get experience and also stuff I can use on my LinkedIn and stuff like that. But then also I actually got to be a part of the actual event, which was so great. I really like that, like, you've combined network with friendship, because I think that's really nice. As much as, like, for like a career point of view, also, like, as a young person, especially in London, it is really hard to make new friends and meet people. So, like, you just combine the two and it's perfect, because then you've got like career things in common, and also you're just meeting people and doing fun things. It also takes the pressure off as well, because it's like we can actually just have a laugh as well as talk about, you know, what are you doing at work tomorrow or whatever.
Absolutely. Again, it's stripping back everything corporate about it, of what people think networking is, and really, again, yeah, just building those friendships. I've built a friendship now where I'm going to her wedding, like, over years. Again, who would know? But yeah, you can build real friends, and that's how you're going to benefit of it, you know. And that's like work opportunities, whether you're freelancing, or job opportunities, or just advice. Like, I'm having a really terrible day at work, like, what would you do in this scenario? Or I'm having this problem with this software, have you ever had that problem? Really valuable to have friends and a support network in your same industry.
Love it. Do you have a vision of how big it might get? Or because there's so many people would benefit. So, and the word is getting out, isn't it? More people.
Yes.
And like every event you do, you end up with new people that are new to the community. So what's next for the...
I think next is getting it on a monthly schedule, definitely. And doing just new and exciting experiences. I'd love to work with more brands and more venues. Again, increase a bit of capacity, but still keep it a bit intimate. And just get more lined up, basically, is my mission. I'm on a mission.
I love it. And how do you fit this in around work? Because I know your job, it's a busy job as well.
It is busy, but we're very lucky because we work a 4-day week. So I have Fridays off, so I use a lot of my Friday to outreach or making or designing anything. I'm very DIY with it all. Alice will know. I'm putting logos on, I'm making floor arrangements, I'm getting very hands-on. So weekends, evenings, Fridays, anytime I can find spare.
The thing about Ellen, she loves everything to be beautiful. Like,
yes, you've, perfectionist.
I feel like probably before Yes Meetup, you started running a few kind of themed sessions in the office. So we did Halloween, we did an afternoon tea. And actually, honestly, the level of planning that went into these spreads, you know, when you're like, it's too beautiful to eat. Like I think probably Paul went in first, and then you don't mind once it started to be broken. But it just,
I love experiences. I love like bringing people together and wowing them. And again, that's another part of my role that I love is, it is, you know, showing and pleasing other people and seeing them excited and then happy, like, wow, we've driven all that money, that's so exciting. So yeah, I really love experiences. And again, that's where the whole Yes Meetup thing came about, of bonding over a memory and something different that wasn't in a sort of work environment really. But yeah, I enjoyed doing those. They were good fun.
It's incredible. I love it. I love the side hustle side of things as well. That gives just a space to keep learning. And but also, like, for us as a business, you're bringing skills back that you're learning. And actually, as being, I always think when you're working in a business, sometimes it's hard to fully understand how a business runs, because you just do your bit and you might hear about other things. But actually, if you then got your own business on the side, which might be different in scale, but you suddenly start to go, oh, I understand like how we need to make a profit to make it make sense. And those skills are so incredible to properly understand, not textbook understand, but feel it, know it, do it.
Absolutely.
And the kind of, I mean, real life events are scary as well, because you're like, is anyone going to come? Like, I still, every time we run an event at work,
you just don't know what's going to happen. You just got to roll with it, haven't you?
You're like, we're probably get, like, you always get some dropouts. These things happen. But it's just, how do you cope with the nerves around that?
I think it's just a matter of trust the process. And again, even if 10 people turn up, if they're really great 10 people, like good 10 people, you will have a whale of a time anyway. Yeah. So yeah, I sent a lot of emails in on the run up of, are you definitely coming? Well, because my main problem at the moment is capacity, and that they'll sell out. But if anyone didn't turn up, it's such a shame, because again, there's like 40, 50 people wait list, that's someone's space for me. So mine's about having trust in the community that they'll, you know, be honest and help everyone out. But just going back to your point about businesses, I'd so encourage anyone young to at least give it a go. And I think there's this perception that you need to have money to invest into business, which can be true sometimes. But I think if you take my case, I must have spent about £4 on this bag of glitter, that first bag of glitter, and then put it into pots, which probably cost me about £2 at the time. I think I bought them off eBay, and it started from there. So quite often you don't always need like a financial backing to get yourself started. Even platforms like Canva, social media management, they're all free tools that you can go and use. And like you said, you learn a lot when you're running a business. And I definitely think it's impressive to employers that you've got a bit of initiative. But again, you're not waiting around for someone to give you experience. You're a go-getter. You're willing to get stuck in and get started.
Yeah, I think, and it's interesting, because there'll be some businesses out there that might see it as a negative. They might go, oh, I'm worried about hiring you, because how are you going to focus on my business? And I think, not everyone has our outlook. So it's then also being prepped for how do you sell that in an interview, because it is a positive and they can see that if you show them in the right way. So it's just being prepared that not everyone will have that open-minded view on it.
I remember like the business getting featured in the newspaper. So like it got featured like in the Times, BBC Radio were picking it up, and all my friends and family like, oh, are you going to go do that full time? I was like, no, like my I really want to work in marketing and like creative, but it was the tool to get me there. And I almost, as much as I loved running the business, I wanted to learn from others. You're just like the solo person that's just riding it out. So yeah, for me, I think everyone expected me to have continued it, but it was never the plan. I was like, oh no, I really want to go do this instead. So it all fell into place, which was exciting.
When did you first discover marketing would be the thing?
Do you know what? I think it might have been a bit through obviously the business, but also through photography. I loved photography, but when I got to A-level, I thought, okay, I'm going to start breaking away from my academics and start going into more creative stuff that I really enjoyed. And I started to do like beauty product photography, and I'd made all of my sort of coursework based on that. And I remember my photography teacher at the time being like, I don't think he was very convinced about it. And I was trying to sell him the dream of, no, I really like love the whole aesthetics of, I had like almonds and all sorts on the tables. I was flinging things around and trying to get shots. And again, I knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do, but I loved the end result of it. So again, I had teases of marketing in my life. It took me a while to put all the pieces together and to finally figure out that there were roles for me and spaces that weren't fully being a creative, but being involved in the making of them.
Well, it's not mentioned at school, really, marketing, is it?
No.
I mean, because obviously you found marketing is your thing. Where did that come from for you?
I don't actually know. I think I love aesthetics like Ellen. Like, I love when things look nice. And like, I think I also love people. I've always loved people. So I guess marketing is kind of like, it's very personal. It's to do with the relationship with the person. And then like the campaigns and everything, you can make it, you know, to their brand, their aesthetic. So it kind of just ties it all together.
Love that. I love that. And so Ellen, you've really kind of taken on and run with the behavioral science side of what we do. I watched you do your webinar recently, which was incredible. That was for what community was that?
That was for Women in Agencies.
Women in
Agencies. A great community as well.
Yeah. And you were brilliant, like so good. But what does the behavioral science mean for you, and how do you use that in what we do?
I think in terms of my role, it's quite often things that you're kind of not thinking about it, but you're kind of innately doing it basically. And it's because you're working again with humans, it's about helping them communicate better. So it's not about manipulation or anything to do with that. It's about making their lives easier in my role. How can I communicate better with you with all these behavioral science techniques? And I guess on the more marketing side is, how do we transform your messaging to your customers with all these great behavioral marketing tools? And again, a lot of businesses may have not considered it or think that it's kind of laid into marketing naturally. But the team, they just do such an amazing job, and they blow my mind all the time when I receive work. It's just amazing.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's so good. And how did you find prepping for and delivering a webinar?
Oh, gosh. So this was my first ever like industry webinar. I think I was very nervous. I think I'd text a few of the girls on our team saying I was very nervous. But again, where it was virtual, I felt that was a nice first step. It's not in person per se. But again, it was a talk that I'd felt very passionate about. And again, when it comes to passion, it kind of comes with ease. So yeah, a lot of reading notes, writing some prep lines, and just go for it. I think that was it. Unless I just do it, you're not gonna get started.
Definitely.
So again, if I was gonna fail, it was my first go. So,
well, you didn't come across as nervous at all, and it was brilliant.
I think I was screaming inside, but
you stuck to the just do it motto.
Yeah, it is. Otherwise, again, I would love to start doing public speaking, but I don't think I had the confidence to just start. Like, where do you start with that? So I think again, it was just do it. Just start somewhere. You're definitely gonna flop. I remember you guys brought in a really great speaker, Kirsty, and she played us her first ever, or like one of her first ever talks.
Yeah, she did, didn't she?
Yeah, and I thought that was great. Again, you can laugh about it in 10 years' time, but you've just got to get started. You just got to do it.
I love it. We've had a few content creators on the podcast, and it's really interesting if you ask them, is your original content still alive? Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, no. They've archived it away, because you do have to start somewhere, and it's probably not what you're going to be most proud of later on. Like, in some ways I'm like, oh, but it's nice to keep it out there to see that journey. But I mean, my first ever public speaking came from, we were, as Reflect Digital, we were sponsoring an event. So we used to sell websites and marketing into the legal sector. So we were at this legal event. It was the first time we'd ever spent money on marketing in that way. It was probably second year of the business. And anyway, we'd bought this stand and we'd gone and we were doing our thing, and it was a 2-day event. And near the end of the first day, the guy that had sold me the space came over and said, we've had a dropout tomorrow. There's a 15-minute slot on stage. Do you want it? And I remember being like, yes. is what I'm meant to say. Yes.
I need to say yes.
But in my brain, I was going, no, no, like, no, I have nothing. I have no content. What would I even do if I got up there and said anything? But I just said yes. So then literally spent the whole night going, and I'd never written a presentation deck to stand on a stage or anything like that. And talk about feeling like you're going to throw up. Mm. Like, I was in the bathroom petrified, like shaking more than I was like, how am I even going to get up there? But anyway, wrote this small little presentation, which, I mean, I don't know that we've got it anywhere. It would have been it would have been terrible now. But you say that, or I say that. At the end of this talk, so there was maybe 30 people in the room. And I've done this talk, and this guy comes over to me afterwards, hands me his card. He's only from one of the biggest law firms in the whole world.
Oh,
and he
wow.
was like, I really want you to come in and talk to us. He was in one of the Magic Circle law firms, oh, Allen and Overy. And he was like, let's get a meeting in. And I remember just being like, okay. What have I just
cool.
done?
Wow.
Oh, my word. And yeah, and we never ended up doing work together, but we went and we did a meeting with him at their offices. Like, again, at that point in my career, I was like, this is amazing. These were like the plushest offices I'd ever been into. Weirdly, I walked past them the other day and had like a weird flashback moment. You know, when you're like, I've been here before. I know that's where that is. Sweet. But yeah, but it was just, I'd similar to you of if I hadn't had the push. So having that, you're doing it tomorrow. Yeah. To plan it out, I don't know when I would have ever got started. Mm. But then it created this thing that afterwards, the adrenaline and the excitement, I was like, that was amazing. I want to do it again. And then started a journey to do more. But you do just have to do it. And actually trying to get being, and that was a lucky moment to be in a situation where someone gives you that kind of opportunity. He probably thought I'd done it before and was a pro. And nope. You are taking a big risk, mate. Definitely. But go on then, I'll give it a go. So
Confidence comes with doing, doesn't it? And I'd set myself a load of yearly goals, and again, they were very aspirational, but it was just get started. It doesn't matter if you failed it, at least I ticked it off. I still did it, didn't I?
Well, you definitely didn't fail it. Just a quick note from me. We'd love you to hit the subscribe button. This helps us more than you might realise when it comes to growing this podcast, ensuring we can bring you the best guests possible. Thank you. Back to the episode. So when's the first in-person on stage? Obviously, you must do a bit at your Yes meetups of like welcoming people.
Yeah, say hello. Hope everyone has a good time, but it's less topical. But I mean, that's my safe space. I love people. I love connecting other people and friendship. So yeah, anything like that comes very naturally to me. Speaking on a stage is something that is a little bit intimate, but I'm up for the challenge again. If you don't do it, you'll never do it. So.
Well, we've heard it here. It's happening.
I know, I'm going to really regret saying that. It's happening.
Someone's going to come and get me.
I'd like a social cut down for that bit. No! And I'm going to keep playing it back until Ellen's got something booked. It's happening. Also, the marketing team are in the room right now. They're going to be starting to look for opportunities. Maybe before we leave this room, we could have it booked. Gosh. Let's get her on a stage. Thing is, you've got so much to say. I think actually that was what I was going to say. You delivered a lunch and learn recently internally. So we do lunch and learns for the team. And it was brilliant because it was all around some of your top networking tips.
Yes.
Could you share some of those? Because there was some in there that I was like, this is gold dust.
Yeah.
Like I don't even know that. So I'm putting you on the spot to remember because you had it. It was a beautiful presentation, but go for it. What?
I think like fundamentally is just overcoming imposter syndrome. Like it's very often all built up in your head, and again you're walking up and you're thinking, they're not going to want to talk to me, what am I going to talk to them about, you know? And it's often in your heads. It's sometimes what I do is create like this alter ego, and I know that sounds really cringy, but no one in that room knows who you are. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. So you can kind of rewrite your own story as to who you are. So I go into those rooms thinking, nobody knows that I'm actually not confident in my day-to-day. You know, I'm this really shy intern. I could be whoever I really wanted to be in those moments. So you can kind of pretend. It's the easiest way to start and just pretend. And I think a lot of it comes with time. And again, there'll be some awkwardness with networking events. But once you've got some, I'd recommend having some one-liners and some questions in your back pocket that you can kind of go to, whether that's, are you enjoying the event? Where have you come from today? What did you think of the speaker? It just really helps with sometimes with that awkwardness. Another really great one is to speak to the event organizer, so whoever has put on the event for the evening, and really ask them, is, you know, this is what I do, or this is what I'm aspiring to do. Is there anyone good in the room that I should speak to? Because they'll know the guest list and they'll say, oh, do you know what? It's really good. I think you should go speak to XYZ person. Let me come introduce you. So again, you've done a bit of cutting things out again from speaking loads of people into the room. So that's another really great one. Another one is creating a C shape, if you've ever heard of it. So if you join a group, and that also might be very intimidating for you, I just normally say, hey, would you mind if I jump in here? Would you mind if I quickly join your conversation? Nobody's going to say no, because they've all come for the same reason. And then when you join that group, you open up the circle again. So you leave a gap and create a C shape for someone else to slot in. Otherwise, if you're creating this sort of closed circle, it kind of gives off unapproachable vibes, we should say.
Such a good tip.
Yeah.
And you're right, no one is going to say no.
I've never had anyone say,
I guess, unless like it just so happened that, like, I don't know, they worked together and they were talking about something that was under wraps. But I mean, the chances of that happening, I mean, if it's that private, they're not doing it at a networking event. So no one's saying no.
Yeah.
And then you're in and you get to join that conversation.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't get, like, it gets easier, but it still is slightly awkward. Like, I went to an event last night and I knew one person, two people there, but you just start chatting to people. But then some of the people I'd started chatting to had left, so I was like, right, now I'm back to nobody. Well, let's go find someone else. And
I almost feel like it's easier to go by yourself than it is with someone else, because you become attached to that person for the night, and almost when you're by yourself, you're forced into the scenario of, I have to go speak to someone. And I think once you've broken the barrier a few times of introducing yourself, or even just making a comment, can I join the group, it becomes easier and easier. It's just the first thought of doing it. But yeah, everyone's come for the same reason, haven't they?
Yeah. And thinking about how you're going to introduce yourself to people is quite a good one, isn't it? Because I think people sometimes do themselves an injustice of introducing themselves, and, oh, I just do this. You don't just do that.
Yeah, like, own it.
Yeah. So really thinking about, and actually like practicing, what would I say? Like, we've got a formula, haven't we, that we use of like, how can you bring the best out of what you want to say and who you are, so that you make yourself memorable as well.
And getting across what you need to, especially if you're aspiring to get into the industry, you just never know how that person can help you. So being like as transparent as possible as to, you know, I'm an aspiring marketer and I'm really looking, like, wanting to get into this field, or have a real big interest in XYZ, because they might say, oh, do you know what? I know another person that's really interested in that. You should really like connect with them. Let me do that for you. So yeah, being honest and transparent, and just being yourself, like, be your authentic self. People can see through it if you are, you know, faking someone that you're not. They just want to know that you're a nice person and know you for you.
Yeah. And helping people out. Yeah. That's if you can make a connection, which is harder to begin with, because you don't have as many connections. But over time, being able to connect people is just, they'll be so grateful for that. Like, there's so many different people over the years where they've then gone on to work together, they've done projects together, actually, even through employing people, we've had people go off and get married and things like that. Like, you just never know what connecting two people might do and what might become of it.
And another great tip is to message people, like, after you've met them, after the event, if you've added them on LinkedIn or other platforms, and say, it was so great to meet you last night. Really enjoyed our conversation. Like, hopefully we can chat up more another time. Because again, you've made a memorable impression. They think, oh, they remembered me and we did have a good conversation. So, and it kind of continues the conversation as well. If there was more that you felt you didn't ask or you wished you'd ask, stay in touch.
And that's also helpful if when you send that message, you say, it was so good to meet you at the Yes Meetup. Mm. Then, because sometimes as your network grows, people will pop back up and you're like, where did I meet them? But if that's in your notes, the other thing I do, and I don't know if this is a bit weird, but I because you'll always take photos at events. If I connect with someone at an event, as I connect, I'll screenshot their LinkedIn. So it sits in that real in my phone. So I know when I look back, if I'm trying to work out where I knew them, and it's almost that's my to-do list, that I'll go back to those, because mm-hmm. they might accept the invitation and then it might be the next day that you're thinking, or even the weekend where you're like, I must go and message those people I met. I've got my little list there of the ones that I screenshotted. So
I love that. That's a great idea.
Tip.
Yeah, I love that.
Little tip.
I'll nab
there.
That.
Yeah, take it. Add that to your presentation. Yeah. You need to deliver that presentation in more places though. Like, might be a good one to do almost for your Yes Meetup as like a little workshop.
Yeah, that is true,
to
actually.
People.
Yeah.
Because also you can have that recorded, and then anytime a newbie's come in, you could say, if you want to, we've got this that you can watch that's like a little resource to help you get started if it's the first
time.
That's
such a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Do it. Do it. Maybe do it on a stage.
Oh my gosh, what have I done?
It's happening. I love it. I love it. Alice, what else do we want to know from Ellen?
I'm not sure. Like, all of my questions, I think, have been answered, which is really great.
So good.
I think, like, I just want to say thank you to Ellen, because she's instilled confidence in me, which has given me confidence in myself. And, like, without Ellen, I think, especially coming out of uni, it is really daunting. And, like, you don't, I'm still young. Like, I don't know exactly what I want to do. I want to be like Ellen and try some things out. So, like, to have someone that kind of instilled confidence in you and make you feel like you can do it, you actually feel like you can. And, like, I definitely think, like, since meeting Ellen and doing the work experience at Reflect, like, I'm way more confident now. And, like, I want to keep reaching out, and, you know, I feel like my possibilities are really big.
Yeah, well, now you've hosted a podcast.
Yeah.
I know. So nice. I love that.
And just, yeah, encourage you to keep reaching out to people, even if it's on LinkedIn. I used to do this. I used to reach out to people on LinkedIn all the time. Would you consider being my mentor? Like, I love the content that you're putting out. Do you have any advice for me? Again, yeah, it all comes with time, I think.
Are you offering mentoring to anyone?
I definitely will. And again, obviously, Alice has been to Yes Meetup, but I'm very open to people coming out if they want to come and help and get some experience. I definitely struggle to get experience, so I'm opening the door if anyone wants to come and help.
I love that. You might have a queue at that door now. So where can our audience find you?
So you can find me on LinkedIn at my name, Ellen Bundy, but you can also find Yes Meetup on Instagram, TikTok and LinkedIn at Yes Meetup. Yeah, just Yes Meetup.
Just Yes Meetup. Yeah, nice.
So.co.uk, nice, but that's
really
right.
Helpful.
Yeah. Yes.
And is there anything, Ellen, that you've not told us yet in what we've asked you that you think the audience need to know?
I just want to reinforce about building your online presence when you're younger at university. I think I did about 2 posts and I had this complex about, I don't know what to post about. I have nothing to say. And you do actually have a lot to say. And this could be as simple as, you are walking to your lecture and you see a really cool bus stop ad. Take a photo of it. Like, what do you like about it? Post it on LinkedIn. Like, you really need to start getting yourself into those conversations, but it doesn't have to be, you know, complex or opinionated or technical. It's very much sharing your wins, successes, your thoughts. And I felt I wished I'd done a lot more of that when I was at university. But I think I'd got myself into too much of a complex. The one thing I did post was about my shop being the ranking fifth worldwide for 1 week. And I posted it on LinkedIn, and one of my housemates worked for the paper because she was studying journalism. So she picked it up and wrote an article on it. And then Kent Papers picked it up because I was from Kent, and then the National Papers picked it up, and then I got a call from someone from the BBC. So again, I only got that because I posted it on LinkedIn, and I didn't think it was relevant because, again, it wasn't really my career. It was more about my shop. But I think I put that, I can't believe my tiny shop has received blah, 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 which, again, it's silly for downplaying it, but you never know what you post and where that's going to go and what opportunities it's going to give you. So really recommend to start building your online presence on any platform, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, personal brands are so important today. So important. And I don't think that's ever going to go anywhere now. That's...
Oh, definitely.
It will help you get jobs. It will help you get headhunted. It will help. It will help your network. It will help you get opportunities. It's, such an important thing. And just post it. Like, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Because it's...
And do you know what? There's so many tools now, like AI and other platforms that can give you inspiration. Like, as a university student, give me 10 LinkedIn posts that I can write about to help you get started. Because I know that's a problem, is sitting there thinking, what can I talk about? Or how do I write that? So yeah, using those tools to your advantage to give you the, you know, maybe ideate with you or give you some structures to get started with. Yeah.
Love that. Such good advice. You're such an inspiration. You're up for an award, aren't you?
I am.
We must mention that. We must mention that. Well, and you're also in the BEMA 100.
I am.
What do these things mean?
So the BEMA 100 is 100 people that are changing the digital industry. And I'm in the rising stars category for helping change some of the industry. We've yes meet up and my role at Reflect, which I'm super flattered about. And then I'm up for the UK Agency Awards for Emerging Talent, which obviously thank you to Becky believing in me for it. So
a pleasure. One of the easiest applications ever to write. It was there's not enough word count, so she does too much. But it's amazing. Honestly, you're such an inspiration to young people because you're still super young yourself, yeah. And all the things you're doing. Mm. Like they're actually, you're only a few years away from being able to sit there yourself doing those things if you just do it, as Ellen says. Like you just get out there and make it happen. And what a great role model you've got and a connection now. I love this. Excited love to Alice. See.
we're really lucky that we've met, I think.
Yeah.
It's at like a great time for me and, well, for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
And again, that's the whole thing, is just if you click with someone, like your personalities, and that's all it's about, and then they'll open doors for you and, just being a nice person.
Yeah, and people like to be nice. There's a lot of nice people out there.
Especially girls. We have to stick together.
Yeah, definitely. There's some good boys out there as well. Let's be fair to the boys. But that's the thing. Like, and Ellen won't be able to help everybody because you might get a big queue at your door after this. But there'll be other Ellens. I mean, there won't be quite Ellen.
Well, yeah, even if I can refer you to, again, like I've got a whole network now. So again, there might be someone else that might be better fitting to mentor you if you want to do something different. So you just have to ask. If you don't ask, you don't get. It's very simple.
Yeah, maybe we need a little yes meetup mentoring connector.
Oh yeah,
that could work quite nicely.
Love the idea of that.
I love that, because also you can be a mentor as young as you like. Yeah. You can start mentoring people, but you probably could have done even 2 or 3 years ago. Like, you've always got something to help the person that's just a few steps behind you. Like, you don't always want the mentor that's like done really everything. Far ahead. Because then that feels so hard, and it's also harder for them to help because it's harder to remember those steps. Like, they'll be able to give you ideas, but it feels less tangible. Whereas actually someone that's like 2 steps ahead, 3 steps ahead, you can go, oh, okay, that feels doable. And they're also so close to being able to remind you how to do it. And tell you.
I completely agree with that. Having someone who's almost relatable, like they've just been through that situation. So what did you do? What's the latest thing that's going on? So yeah, I definitely agree with that one.
Love it. I feel like we keep drawing to a close and then I start again because I'm like, it's just so much. But I am going to draw us to a close. This has been brilliant. Ellen, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you're doing to help young people as well, because having a safe space where young people can go and meet each other and create those connections, they are the next generation of our industry and you're helping them. So I'm very proud of what you're doing and you're fantastic. And Alice, you've been a brilliant co-host.
Thank you.
I hope you're going to come back and join us again.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Yeah, we would love to have you. So what a fabulous episode. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Behind the Future. That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.